Morning, church family. Every time we have a different type of service, of course, things are getting out of routine. And even myself, sometimes I have to keep looking the bulletin to make sure that we get all the details correct. The scripture for today, I would like to call your attention to it because it says, so continue daily with one accord. Please pay attention to the expression one accord. That means in communion. Not communion in a sense of taking bread, but in thought. They were unique. They were truly one body in Christ. And that's what the book of Acts, Luke, reports to us, that they were united. And as they were united, not only in the way they believe in their faith, but also they took time to have a fellowship, which is the breaking of bread is all about. Now, we will discuss today a little bit different, few details. Happy Sabbath, everyone. And of course, today is the only holy day. There is no other holy day. This is the one. And so enjoy it and be holy in it, okay? Today's message we entitled Breaking Bread. And if you are an English speaking person, if you were born in this country, you are very familiar with this expression. You know, people use this, even though it's a biblical kind of implication, but people use this all the time. So we'll decide to talk about this a little bit more. To break bread, it means to share a meal, to eat together, to have a friendship. This term occurs in many places in the New Testament, especially, where sometimes it means just to share bread. And at other times was just to give bread to other people. But in every single sense, the meaning behind was to have a meal. And we'll discuss a little bit more the implication that the Catholic Church, they start to use that for in reference to communion. And for centuries, they used that way. And then came the Protestant Church, and they embraced the same terminology. And why? We'll discuss just briefly why they did that. There was a plan behind. Of course, to break bread is to affirm trust. It's also a sign to affirm confidence and comfort with another individual or a group when you have this kind of fellowship. Break bread has a notation of friendliness and informality derived from the original meaning regard to just to pick, have a loaf of bread and just take pieces and give to others. The intent was always as much as I am fed, you also will be fed. So everybody will be equally fed during the meal. The break of bread, to make peace, of course, to have a partnership, to share the belongings, assets with another person, to have things in common, to share a faith with one another. That is the concept of breaking bread in a general sense. That's the intent. Now, to break bread means to have a meal with someone, breaking off pieces of your bread, and sharing it with to ensure that everyone will be fed. Notice that I capitalized it, and I also capitalized your bread. Who do you think, why did I capitalize those? Have you an idea? Because they are the reference to Christ. Your bread that you receive from God is the bread of life. And so your bread that you must share is Christ. If you keep for yourself only, you won't be able to. This is the bread that you must break and give. You cannot keep. And to ensure that everyone will be fed. Now, the Bible, the scriptures, is full of symbols. I don't know how many of you have taken time to even study some of the symbols of the Bible. We're not going to discuss all the symbols, but there are a few that I'd like to mention today. Bible symbols. You know, you know the water is a symbol, and there are so many others. The first symbols that I'd like to call attention to, the the story when the woman, the first woman, our mother Eve, have this dialogue with the serpent. Now we know for sure that the serpents do not talk. I have not seen one. The only time I see a serpent talking is when Walt Disney, the Disney studios decide to make them talk, and then the cartoons, they talk. But Satan used the same technique, and he made Eve believe that the serpent actually was talking. For centuries, for thousands of years, the Jewish people always believed that it was actually a serpent there put by God in order to test Adam and Eve. Sadly, there are some theologians that even to this day, sadly, even inside of our own denomination, that still hold that belief that God was the one who tried to test Adam and Eve. And we know James 1:13, it says, no one when he's tested or proved or attempt to say that I'm been tempted by God, God tempted no one. So we know that it was not God, but it was Lucifer himself. And so there was a dialogue between them. And God told both of them after Adam and Eve sinned, he says, I will make you, this Jesus, God talking to the serpent, I will make you and the woman enemies to each other. Now, anybody here likes to play with snakes? We'll refer you to a psychiatrist or something if you do. We have a natural fear of this thing, this beast, don't we? I see a serpent there, I'm running. And I'm not macho or anything else. I got a legs, they are not for anything else but to run. And so when we see serpents, we run. We are afraid of them because it's a natural fear that we have. This fear that was put inside of us, it is a defense mechanism. The same thing the serpent says, oh no, that... I think the serpent look at it. If you have a big foot, it says, oh, they're going to smash my head. They take off too. They are afraid of us as much as we are afraid of them. And they attack us because they are afraid. And we attack them because we are afraid. Fear has made this war between us. But God predicted this. Literally, the animal and us, but also symbolically. Here is the symbol. It says, your descendants... talk about Satan, and her descendants, talk about the woman, will be enemies, and we should. But you know what happened? The serpent decided to go among humans and recruit some of the humans to be part of his team. We call them traitors. You know, when there's two armies, this arm is supposed to fight that army, and somebody from this side cross and go to that side and try to help the other one. Every human being that has joined Lucifer in a battle against the woman and her seed is the enemy of God, because it joined with Satan, joined with the serpent. It says, you and your descendants. It's not only talking about the animals, it's talking about the humans that join in and became part of the team. One of her descendants, of the woman, will crush your head, and you will bite his heel. My grandfather, my mother's father, was bitten by a serpent. Everybody told him, you must go see a doctor immediately. He was very tall, taller than I am. I never met him. I never seen his picture, but I was told. But no matter how tall you are, it was a tiny little bite. He didn't go to see a doctor, and I went to see his grave. That's all that I saw of him. He died because one tiny little serpent gave him a tiny little portion of the poison, and it was enough to kill him. Yes, the body of Christ is the woman, and Christ is the seed of that woman. Literally, because Mary, a virgin, was told, you will conceive. Literally what the Bible is saying to says, God is going to give the bread of life, but he needs a woman in order to deliver this bread of life to to civilization. And Mary was the chosen one. And so physically a woman, symbolically a woman, in order to bring bread of life for you and I, so that we can break the bread and share with others, so everyone may have life in him. Amen. That's the purpose. So the promise was fulfilled. And I call this promise the giving bread. It was not a child, it was just a bread of life. He came to sustain and to give life. For God so loved the world that he gave bread. Yes, he gave the bread of life. That whoever takes this bread and enjoy this bread should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's another application that we make for this text as well. Now, this is a lady. At least we call lady, but she was not much of a lady. This lady represents also a woman, a church. Some of you may say, oh, Pastor, you're talking about Babylon. No, not yet. This one is Jezebel. What happened in the time of Jezebel? Elijah was there. And Elijah came to a conclusion. There was no more faithful in the whole land. They all have either perished or they have joined forces with Jezebel. There's no one. But God told Elijah, there is a remnant. And guess what number did God use to tell about the number of the remnant? There's 7,000 of them. The seven is just a symbolic of a lot. 1,000 is to multiply that. So it was not exactly 699 plus 1. No, it was 7,000 assembly, symbolic number. There's many out there. My church is still there. No matter how powerful this Jezebel has been the instrument in the hand of Satan in order to bring destruction to God's people, but the number prevailed. The bride of the Antichrist. Yes, Jezebel was a symbol of the blind of the Antichrist. Also the body, because it represents a church, represents a movement, a corrupt movement, but it does. Now, the text, it is talking about the broken bread. Jezebel tried, she joined hands with Rome. I'm talking about now Jezebel, the corrupt church. You know, the priest that went and tried to get Jesus crucified and destroyed. Satan has recruited the church, the Jezebel of the time, and trying to make that church destroy the head of the church that's supposed to come to be the bread of life to save the church. And so what happened? Jezebel taught and Lucifer taught, we're going to break this bread in the intent to destroy it. But the broken bread became the bread of life instead. They did not succeed. The bread of life, it was there, giving his life so that he can accept our lives back. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 4 and 5, for as we are many members of one body, we all part of the woman, not Jezebel, but the true, the pure woman, which is the bride of Christ. But all the members of not have the same function, but what happens? We being many, one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now, if Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he is the head of the church, and we are his body, guess what makes us this? Makes us bread. And what do we do with bread? Do we put it in a shelf and let them become old and full of mold or anything else? No, bread is to break and give and share. That's the purpose of us being bread. So Jesus is the broken bread to be given to give life, and Jesus is through us also the bread of life. We need to realize every time you walk around, you talk to other person, remember yourself, I am the bread of life. I must share what I am, because what I am is because Christ makes me what I am. And now that He makes me what I am, I must make others to be part of the body of Christ. So the bread that God gave us is to be broken and to be given. It's not for us just to, in a selfish way, just remind ourselves that, oh, how good we are. Yes, we are part of the remnant. The Bible says the woman, a pure woman, is a symbol of the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. We are the bread of Christ. Then, after a few centuries, appear another one. That is Babylon. That is the corrupt church that decides to join hands, literally join hands with the world. And she became the hand of Satan in order to try to destroy God's people. And for how long? 1,260 years, this power tried to do everything to destroy the seed, the child, the woman of Christ. They flew to the desert, and they almost succeed. But praise God, God's church is still here, and is alive, and is called the remnant again. Remember the remnant, the time of Elijah, and the remnant in the last days. There is always, when there is crisis, there is someone always that stands and remains. That's what remnant means. And we'll be here by God's grace until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take us home. We want to sit at His table and eat the bread that He is going to serve us, the bread of life. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Of course, for you to be a remnant, you need to have patience. And it says, here are those who keep the commandments of God and has the faith of Jesus Christ. Those that are truly bread, as Christ is bread. And the dragon, of course, the old serpent. It was enraged against the woman and against her descendants. And she went to make war with them and her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is what has been throughout the ages. Two forces. One that belongs to Satan, another one who belongs to God. Is Abba fighting one side and Abaddon, the father of destruction, and all his destructive agents in the other side. Crisis, like we are going through right now, health crisis, is going to be present now, is going to be present to the end. There will be always, after this will come another one. Because that's what the agents of destruction, that's what they do. And they will try to collect lives one after the other until the end. But we must be patient and remain the bread of life. Then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Yes, whoever comes to me and will never be hungry again. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6, verse 35, New Century Version. And then it says, the gift of life. This is my body, the bread, which I given to you. Do this as to remind yourselves who you are and who I am. And that when you embrace me, you are part of life. Luke 22, verse 19, New Living Translation. Now it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord. By the way, I like that Jesus Christ says this bread, not any bread. Because Jezebel was offering bread too. So does Babylon offers bread too. But that bread will kill you. That's not food. That's not the body of Christ. That's the fake one. The original one, Jesus says, this. And I can see Jesus says, this bread appoint to himself. This bread Anyone who eats this bread he was appointed to himself, or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. That's very important for us to understand. We need to examine ourselves. We will be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. It's like you're killing him again. The body of Christ, the bread of life. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, 28, New King James. That is why you should examine yourselves before you come to touch the bread and eat the bread. Let me pause very briefly here to say this. There are some cultures, still there are many around the world, they eat bread the same way they ate 4,000 years ago. They haven't changed a thing. It's, you go there, they eat exactly the same way. They sit on the floor and they have this, they have those breads, sometimes big one like this, and everybody touch the bread and take a piece and give it to each other. And in our society here, oh, no, you know. But they have a ritual that I would like to make a statement here and now. When we go to food washing, it's very important for us to participate in food washing. But one thing that is not mentioned is implied. Wash your hands after the food washing. Wash your hands well. It is important for your feet to be clean. But your hands need to be clean all the time. And right now, we must be reminded all the time that it is important to wash your hands. Now we are looking to those Jewish people. They don't look that bad anymore, do they? With all those rituals, washing hands and washing hands again, looks like we need to go back and learn from the past. When all the other people were contaminated and had problems, health problems, the Jewish people, the Jewish community was kept safe from pandemics because they washed their hands, they washed their feet. They took a bath before major ceremonies. They washed their clothes. They clean outside and inside. So please examine yourself. That means make sure that you clean before you touch the bread, literally, and you take the cup. I put this picture together, and I find it's very touching. Both of them have the bread of life in front of them, the actual bread, but also the bread of life. Notice that both of them have the scriptures, and they're eating the real bread. Remember what Jesus told Satan when Satan told him to make the stones into bread? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. Basically what Jesus Christ says, yes, that kind of bread is good, but there is a bread that is better. And that's the word of God, is the bread of life. And this is the bread that we should have in mind when we say, Lord, this day, give us our daily bread. Not just, you know, something to for us to eat for the body, but especially for the mind. Eat the word of God. Matthew 6, verse 11. Give us the bread of life. That's what we need. Every single day. At this time, we got together to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ gave us bread, the bread of life. He was the bread that was sent by Abba to all of us. Here in a Seventh-day Adventist church, we celebrate communion the way the Bible teaches. We don't celebrate the communion by tradition. We celebrate communion by command. It's not something that we pick and choose how to do it. The Lord told us exactly how to do it. We have the foot washing, which is one element part of the communion. We have the bread, and also we have the new wine, the grape juice. I was talking to a minister that has been celebrating, according to him, communion for many, many years. And he had no idea that foot washing was part of a communion. And he told me, can you prove? I said, I don't have to. All you have to do is read your Bible. Because I told him, I don't want you to say you are Seventh-day Adventist. That's why you see this way. I said, no. Go to John 13 and asked Jesus, "Jesus, what is communion?" And he went, and then he says, "Yeah, I got it." And now he wanted me to participate with the communion with a large group, and we participated together. Jesus' invitation. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he says, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" In other words, we have done this for many times, but this time now is different. And they did not know, they didn't realize. Jesus told them, but they didn't realize. In just a few more hours, he was going to be arrested. This is it. This is the last lesson that I have to give. For after 3.5 years, this is the last lesson. Pay attention. Do you realize what I have done? John 13, verse 12 to 17. It continues, verse 13. "You call me teacher and Lord, and that's the reason why I'm here. And it's right. I am what you think I am. And that's why I'm teaching you this. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." He didn't say, "You may, if you decide, if it's comfortable, if it's convenient." He said, "You should wash one another." And then he continues, "I have set you an example, not just for good looks, for your information, no, so that you should do." With this pastor that I was talking about, I point those expressions. I says, "Tell me what that say." I play like an ignorant. I says, "What that says in English? What do you think? What do you think it means? You should do." He said, "I got the point. As I have done for you, I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things," and here is the big bang that Jesus says, "and you will be blessed if you do them." Now let's think, if you do them, you'll be blessed. If you don't do that, what is the conclusion? There is blessing for doing, but there's no blessing if you do not do it. So this is the time that we understand that correctly. Now, why do we need to wash our feet? Have you asked this question to yourselves? Is it because we need to remove dust from our feet? Some took a shower just before they came, and they have a clean socks. And why wash? The foot washing, we learn very well the meaning of it. When Peter refused to receive the foot washing, when Peter said, no, "Not me, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no communion with me. You are not part of the body of Christ. If you decide to stay out, you have no communion. If you want communion, you come and do as I have done." And so Peter says, "Oh no, so that's the case. I want to be with you, Lord. Wash me completely. Let's be baptized," because in Greek, wash over means to go under, is baptizo. "Let me baptize." He said, no, Peter. What you have been baptized, you don't need to be baptized again. But because after you were baptized, you walk here and there, you make one mistake here or there, that means you got some few little things on your feet. So you need, as a symbolism, to ask forgiveness for those little tiny little dots of stain that you got on your feet. So when you go to your foot washing now, bring to your mind that glorious day when you surrender your life into baptism. Because foot washing is a way to remind you who do you belong to, and those feet of yours, where they go, where they take you, it should be always to follow Christ. If they are clean, they will follow Christ. If they are not clean, they will follow the serpent. One leads to destruction, one leads to eternal life. Watch your feet and wash your feet. It is very important. Unless I wash you, Peter, and Jesus saying this to you today, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless you participate in communion, you are not part of the communion. So at this time, we like to go to the foot washing. Now,